Well, let's open our Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 20. If you're going to follow along with me this morning, I want to take occasion this morning to magnify motherhood. I want to exalt motherhood today as we honor our mothers. I believe that this is probably one of the most natural things that the natural man does, is acknowledge and honor his mother. Seems to me that there's something special about the relationship between the mother and the child, even though the father's relationship is obviously valuable and important, but there's something especially significant about the mother's relationship. And there's something special about the mother's love. If you think about it in the natural, you understand that even non-spiritual people typically have deep love for their moms. We're told that Mother's Day is the day of the year in which you have the most phone calls. Telephone usage is at its highest on Mother's Day. And that tells me that children who never talk to their moms do it on Mother's Day. There's another evidence that we see in the world round about us. The high percentage of single-parent homes are parented by mothers, not fathers. There's a reason for that. Because there's something in mothers towards their children. That while fathers have a unique influence in the lives of their children, there's something in mothers that does not naturally occur in fathers. If it was, we wouldn't have as many fathers running away from their homes, their kids, leaving them in charge of mothers only. It's a sad commentary on our culture that we have so many fatherless children. Home after home after home in our culture is without fathers. The fifth commandment comes from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is a commandment that includes a blessing. That it's the first commandment that has a blessing attached to it. That if we're obedient to it, God says that our days will be long. And so I want to begin today. I'm going to look at several mothers from the Word of God. The first one is from 1 Kings chapter 3, and this is a very familiar story. But in looking at the stories recorded about these three moms, it will give us some insight into the heart of a mother, which is what we want to exalt today. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 16. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king, and stood before them. The one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after I was delivered that this woman was delivered also. And we were together, and there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. Just we two and our two new babies. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. She smothered it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king, and so here are two women, one live baby, and they're both wrestling over whose child it is. And the king, this is Solomon as you'll call, the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Now this shows us the difference between the heart of a woman and the heart of a mother. The mother says, I will willingly surrender my child to a no good derelict woman rather than see my child killed. The non-mother, the woman, said, go ahead and kill the child. Makes no matter to me. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child and in no wise slay it, for she is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king. Now watch this. For they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. This wasn't just a smart king. This wasn't just a wise king. This was a king in which the wisdom of God dwelt. And that particular verse tells us something about this whole passage. God knows how he made mothers. We're going to find out a little later in our discussion what he knows about how he made mothers. Solomon's decision here to put these women to the test was given to him by the wisdom of God. And God knew that the heart that he had placed in mother would not fail. That the heart that he had put in a mother towards her child would not fail to bring the revelation as to who was the liar and who was the truth teller. Mothers will do almost anything. I tell you, if you ever cross a mom, you are in deep trouble. I can testify to that personally. For here at Water of Life, we ran a Christian academy for about 15 years. And in running a Christian academy, there are some things that come up where you're dealing with the children of parents. And sometimes you do things with that child, or you have a situation that occurs with the child that either the mother doesn't agree with or doesn't understand. And someone said, a woman scorned. You know the rest of it. But I've got to tell you, a woman scorned is nothing like a mother offended on behalf of her child. She will do most anything to protect the child. God has put something in the heart of moms that they will do whatever is necessary to provide for and to protect. In another mother that comes to mind as I think about that, and perhaps your mind is working as well, is the mother of Moses. Most do not remember her name. Does anybody remember Moses' mother's name? Somebody? Jochebed. And when Moses was born, he was born under a sentence of death. Exodus chapter 2 tells us the story that Pharaoh had determined that there were too many Jewish men, too many Israelite men, and they were stronger and they became a threat to the Egyptian people. And Pharaoh instructed the midwives that if a Jewish boy was born, that the child should be killed immediately upon birth. Jochebed understood that. Rather than allow her child to be slaughtered, she took the child and put him in a basket and entrusted him to the Lord and set the basket in the river and set it adrift, not knowing she would ever see that child again. She was willing to give the child up in order to preserve his life, just like this woman here was in Solomon's situation. There's another interesting story. I find it interesting in 2 Samuel chapter 20, chapter 21. 2 Samuel 21. About a little known woman. Her name is recorded, and this situation is the only thing recorded about her in the Word of God that I am aware of. The woman's name is Rizpah. Does anybody recognize that name? Rizpah? We won't take the time to read the entire story. It begins in the first verses of chapter 21. The story goes essentially like this. That during the reign of King Saul, there were a group of people with whom Joshua had made covenant when they entered into the land of promise known as the Gibeonites. And Joshua made covenant with their ancestors that they would not destroy them. The Gibeonites were among the Amorites. They were not of the children of Israel. They were Canaanitish people. But Joshua and the elders of Israel had made an agreement with them that they would not harm them all the days of their lives. Well, King Saul went back on that agreement, and he slaughtered many of the people of Gibeon. When David became king, there was a plague on the land. And David went to the Lord and said, "Why this plague?" And God said, "It's because of what Saul did to the Gibeonites. And it's because of Israel under Saul violating this covenant that had previously been made." And so David goes to the Gibeonites and says, "What can we do to remedy this?" And the Gibeonites say, "Well, we don't want any of your money." And so the agreement is made based on the request of the Gibeonites. "Let us have 7 of Saul's sons, and let's have them executed for Saul's, what he did to our people." David agrees to that, and Rizpah was the mother of 2 of these sons. Rizpah was one of Saul's concubines. She was not a woman of position. She was not a wife. She was a concubine. But to Saul, she had 2 sons. And they were among the 7 that were executed. Verse 8. "But the king took the 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, whom she bare unto Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the 5 sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Meholathite. And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites. And they hanged them in the hill before the Lord. And they fell all 7 together and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of the barley harvest." Now, these next couple of verses are the ones I want you to see. "And Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of the harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven." In other words, this is a period of time. This is not a day or so. This is an entire season. This is from the time that the harvest begins until the harvest is concluded. That's what it means when the rains came. So this is a period of weeks. "She took the sackcloth and spread it on the rock, and she suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night." And so day and night she sat on this rock next to her, the decaying bodies of her hung sons, and drove the birds away by day, the vultures, and the beasts away by night. Now you say, what benefit is that to her sons? The sons are already dead. They're already gone. She can't help them. Besides, here she is putting herself in a situation where they were executed by the government of her day. And here she is out there boldly protecting their dead, decaying bodies, risking danger on their behalf. Verse 11, and it just, I read that story, and I don't know, moms, I guess you will understand this. You understand what's going on here. It just, for a mother, it just does not seem to matter about what might happen to me. It only matters what happens to my child. And this is something that God has placed in the hearts of moms. And this is why moms are so important to us. Most of us have good moms, but even those who are less than good are precious to their children. Verse 11 tells us it was told David what Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done. And David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from the men of Jabesh Gilead, which had stolen them from the street of Bethshan, where the Philistines had hanged them, when the Philistines had slain Saul in Gilboa. And he brought up from thence the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, and they gathered the bones of them that were hanged. And the bones of Saul and Jonathan, his son, buried they in the country of Benjamin in Zelah, in the sepulcher of Kish, his father. Now, why did these boys get a good burial? Because this one woman, this mother, this Rizpah, went out and sat day after day after day. And when the king saw that, he had compassion upon the dead sons. Then I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 15 and read once again. That instance is perhaps somewhat obscure, but this one will not be. This is the story of a Canaanite woman, a Syrophoenician woman, who had a daughter that was demon-possessed. And Jesus and his disciples had gone on a beach vacation. And verse number 21 in Matthew 15 tells us the story. Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. This mother is driving us batty. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. A mother will not take no for an answer. A mother's heart will not let her be dissuaded if she knows that her child needs something and she knows where to get it, even if it be the Lord himself. She comes to the Lord and says, I know you can help my daughter, and my daughter needs help. Jesus said, it's not time. I didn't come for you. Your time will come later. I came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She says, help me. He answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. Do you understand what Jesus is saying to this woman? You're a dog. Your daughter is a dog. I came for the children of Israel, and I'm going to minister to them, and then they are going to take my goods to you. But this is not time for you. This mother is not discouraged. She does not care a whit about rejection. She does not care a whit about somebody saying no. She doesn't care a whit about somebody calling her a dog. She says, my daughter has a need, and I know you can provide it. She said, truth, Lord, I know I'm a dog, and I know my daughter's a dog, and I know that the bread that came down from heaven belongs to the children, the family of God, the Jews. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. All we need is a few crumbs. We don't have to have the bread off the table. Just let us have the crumbs that have dropped to the ground. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Rejection means nothing to a mother who knows where to get her daughter's help. Yet with all we know from these scriptures and our personal experience about a mother's love, let me show you something about a mother's love that I just saw from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49, beginning to read in verse 13. This is where I've been wanting to bring us this morning. Verse 13 begins thusly. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, that is the people of God, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Verse 15. Notice how the Lord speaks to him, speaks to Israel, and the image that he uses. Can a woman forget her sucking child? What is a woman who has a sucking child? It's a mom. It's a mother. Can a mother forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Now, in this scripture, God is looking for an earthly image with which he can convey his love, his compassion, his mercy, his provision, his willingness to do whatever it takes for his kids. He's looking for something that he can come up with that every individual can relate to. What is there in my creation that everybody knows about? Everybody understands, everybody has experienced, that when I draw that picture, they will know what I'm trying to say about my love. I know what it is. It's a mother. I'll use mother. Because he knew what he put in the heart of a mother. Can a mother forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. In other words, you know that that will not happen. That is an absolute impossibility for a mother to forget her nursing baby. That could never happen. You know in your own personal experience, it's impossible. But even should that happen, I will not forget. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never forget that you're my child. I will never fail to provide for you. I will never fail to protect you. I will never fail to do whatever it takes for you. Subsequent to this, of course, the words of Isaiah were given 750 years before this word was given. God commendeth his love towards us, Romans 5:8, in that while we were yet sinners, worthless, without value, he gave his son to die for us. That's an image for us. But today of all days, I feel impressed to exalt a mother's love, to help us to understand the love of our Heavenly Father. I don't believe there is anything. I don't believe it has ever been invented by the devil that could prevent God from protecting for us and providing for us. And He's given us so much evidence. As we exalt our mothers today, we also exalt You, Father. We exalt Your love and Your mercy and Your compassion. We thank You today for our mothers and for not just for them and for their love and for their care and for all that they have sacrificed on our behalf. And sometimes, Lord, we're so short-sighted that we think only about the labor pains. We think only about the 9 months in which we were carried in our mother's belly. We think only about the hours that were engaged in toil and labor and in some cases much pain and discomfort in order to bring us life. We think only about that. And we don't think about all of the days and nights that have passed since then, when they have seen to it that we had everything that we needed physically, emotionally, socially, spiritually, and how our mothers have poured out their lives only to see us prosper and be blessed. And in thinking about the love of a mother, we cannot help but realize, not help but be directed by our mother's love to the love of God, which is also unfailing, unflinching, and unlimited. We exalt You today, Lord, as we honor our mothers. In Jesus' name.